Gina, we're super excited about the heliophysics big year. And of course, it's really interesting because you have had an annular eclipse,
yep,
a total solar eclipse coming up. There are auroras. There is the Parker Solar Probe closest approach later this year.
Exactly.
All these events, it's almost as if you guys planned the big year with all these things. How did this all come about?
You know, a lot of these celestial events that we're talking about, we had no control over. So we're very lucky about the timeline of these and just how they worked out. And so we decided, you know, let's really lean into it and take advantage of it and make it a big year so that everybody can celebrate the sun with us.
Yeah, well, tell us about that study, because NASA obviously is very interested in the sun. What are the kinds of things that you're looking at here at Goddard when you study the sun?
Yeah, so heliophysics is the study of the sun and its influence on everything. That means not just the sun specifically, but how it influences Earth, our atmosphere, our magnetic field, but the planets as well. And so that last portion, the planets and their magnetic fields, that's me. That's the work that I do, really trying to understand how the sun impacts planetary environments and their magnetic fields and their atmospheres.
And that would relate to your work with Mars, with the MAVEN mission?
MAVEN, yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, MAVEN is actually coming up on its 10-year anniversary at Mars. So it went into orbit in 2014, so later this fall, it will be 10 years that MAVEN has been orbiting Mars. And MAVEN is really trying to understand how the Martian atmosphere has evolved over the planet's 4-billion-year history. So we're trying to understand why the atmosphere is very thin, where the water on the surface has gone, and what we've determined is that a majority of that has escaped to space. And it's really the influence of the sun and other factors playing a role on the Martian atmosphere.
How can you extrapolate what you learn there and apply it to Earth, or can you?
Yeah, so me personally, as a scientist, what I've done is looked at specific physics that happens at every planet in the solar system. So what I like to do is take that physics and compare how it changes at Mercury, and then you go to Mars, and then you go to something like Uranus. You know, they operate, some of the same phenomena happen, but there are other influences on it. So I use the planets as my own laboratory to kind of like tweak the knobs a little bit.
Wow, that's amazing. And of course, the sun drives it all.
Exactly, it does. It does, and there's a big factor to consider in terms of how close the planet is to the sun or whatnot, because that plays a role in the energy that's being input into the system.
Now, speaking of that energy, this heliophysics big year is occurring just ahead of what we think will be solar maximum. How
That's
does
right.
that solar max play into the work that you're doing?
So I'm glad that you asked me that question, because for MAVEN, we are trying to understand how the inputs from the sun impact the Mars atmosphere. And specifically, right now, as we're going up towards solar maximum, we have more activity. We have more solar flares, more coronal mass ejections, and some of these are directed towards Mars. So we can analyze how these events really change the Martian atmosphere and contribute to its escape to space. And right now with MAVEN, we're looking at that, but also the dust season at Mars is starting to pick up. So we have Mars dust season and solar maximum happening at the same time. There's always so much going on, but they really are interconnected. You know, one thing about heliophysics is that it really touches on all different aspects of science. So it touches planetary, it touches astrophysics, and of course, Earth science as well. So when all these things are happening, we try to take advantage and really, put in our lessons from heliophysics.
All right, so I want to talk about the 2024 eclipse.
Okay.
Right?
So let's talk about it.
Obviously, this is a huge deal. For you, when you think about the eclipse, what are the kinds of things that you look at? I mean, you look at everything. So how does something like this big total solar eclipse impact you as a NASA scientist?
So for me personally, I really enjoy engaging with the other scientists. I'm not a solar physicist myself, so I'm not the person studying the solar corona, but I really like to engage with the scientists that I work with to understand the science that they're trying to do, and I try to make connections with the people so that the experiments, can come together and we can compare results. For me, the eclipse is really just part of the experience, watching the eclipse itself, really seeing other people's impressions of it too.
Now, I've noticed a lot of people get really excited, myself included, about corona and seeing those big events happen on the sun.
Sure.
When that happens, eclipse or not, Do you get excited thinking about how it's going to hit Mars? I mean, most people are wondering how it's going to hit Earth, but you might be the standout in the crowd.
So solar activity directed towards Mars is starting to get more and more kind of attention right now, not only because it's solar maximum, but because we finally have observations of, you know, events directed towards Mars and how it impacts Mars. So actually part of the MAVEN group, I mean, we report out on solar activity coming towards Mars very regularly. Every week or so we look at that activity, and it's really exciting to see the impact that it has.
A little technical question. For the rovers on Mars, is it, I know how important space weather is and how things operate on the ISS and for our astronauts and even here on Earth. Do you help with MAVEN data keep our rovers safe and operational in terms of space weather on Mars?
As a matter of fact, we do. So what we do is we monitor that solar activity, and if we think that there's something that could, you know, impact any of the robotic missions at Mars, we alert them to this. Some of the highest energetic particles coming from the sun, depending on their energy, they can reach the surface. And some of the Mars rovers have a way to measure that. So we like to compare our observations in orbit around Mars with what the surface assets are seeing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Now back to 2024.
Okay.
It's going to be a big day.
Yep.
Can you give us an idea of what the weather is going to be like at Carbondale for the eclipse? I need a guarantee that there's going to be clear skies and no issues.
I wish that I could control the weather. I would say that's one thing to really consider, right, when choosing where to be for the eclipse, is what the percentage of cloud coverage is. Now, I'll be in Texas, where I think there's a slightly higher chance of clear skies, but we'll just have to say fingers crossed for that.
That's right. And even though you study a lot of things, you're not studying anything that will give us particular insight on those odds, right?
No. Well, unfortunately not.
Well, hopefully we'll have clear skies, you'll have clear skies, and we'll all enjoy the eclipse in 24.
Yes, definitely.
Good.
Do any of the rovers or any other satellites around Mars give you information that you can pair with the MAVEN satellite to give you more information?
Yeah. So we meet, actually just yesterday, I had a meeting with from the Curiosity rover. They have an instrument called RAD, and it detects radiation on the surface. So MAVEN is observing the solar energetic particles, and when they're high enough energy, they can go through the atmosphere to the surface, and then RAD will detect them, depending on where the rover is with respect to the sun, too. Yeah.
Is that the only case, or is there, multiple?
There are other, actually on the rovers, the cameras sometimes actually image sunspots on the sun, so we can see where some of that activity is coming from, too. Yeah. Yeah, so we, and I think, I think it's MRO also has another instrument that we collaborate with sometimes. And Mars Express from the European Space Agency as well, they monitor solar inputs too. So there's starting to be this kind of Mars network, but at the same time, they're individual missions. It's not like they were made to be that way.
Come on, it's hard because it takes so long to develop and everything else too.
Yeah.
So, are eclipses on Mars more interesting to you?
They're not. No.
Well, because you can't see them.
But I can talk about why.
We can't see. Yeah, one. She might know. Yeah, that's a good point. I was arguing about this whole like auroras.
Yeah.
Like, I asked if there were auroras on Mars, and they said no, and everybody laughed at me and said there's no not that there's no atmosphere.
But it's not as thick.
Yeah, it's not as thick. Yeah. So they were like, no.
And oh, there's like, tons of observations of aurora at Mars.
See? Okay.
Yeah.
See, I knew that. Okay.
So maybe it was before MAVEN when we had.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, MAVEN is what has set the precedent for this.
Okay.
But
all right. So on Mars with our rovers and some of the spacecraft orbiting the planet, do they actually contribute data to MAVEN to help understand what's going on in terms of that solar radiation?
The MAVEN team collaborates with other Mars missions, NASA missions, but also missions from other space agencies as well. And it's really important that we have this communication because there are observations that really help us to understand the whole picture. So for example, NASA's Curiosity rover can measure radiation on the surface of Mars. So when the spacecraft, when MAVEN and Curiosity are aligned in such a way that they both can observe inputs from the sun, we can compare energetic particles and whether they make it down to the surface.
And that tells you a lot about even the atmosphere.
It does. It gives us a lot of input on how the sun might impact the atmosphere and, you know, any radiation threats that it could pose on the surface.
Yeah, which, you know, eventually when we go to Mars, we're really going to need that information.
Exactly. So the data are really important now so that we can plan properly for sending humans to Mars and having the tools in their hands so that they can be prepared for any space weather activity.
Now, I've been known to get ahead of myself, but okay. I'm wondering now that we're talking about humans potentially one day getting to Mars, we're looking at an eclipse today in 24, we're going to see an eclipse.
Yes.
When we have humans on Mars, will they be able to see an eclipse? Do we have total solar eclipses on Mars?
There are solar eclipses on Mars, but they are not total solar eclipses.
Okay.
And that's something that's very special for us on Earth. So the rovers on Mars, actually more recently Perseverance, has imaged Phobos, one of the Martian moons, crossing in front of the sun, creating a solar eclipse. Now, it's not as impressive as it is here on Earth because the moons on Mars won't fully block the sun. So it almost looks like a planet transiting the sun.
Okay, I was gonna ask if it was more like a transit or an annular.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, it's not even as impressive as an annular eclipse, to be honest, because it is more of a partial eclipse. There's not much of the sun that's going to be blocked, but it can still tell us information if we study it. It can tell us information about the moons. It can tell us information about the Martian atmosphere as well.
I still feel like you got a pretty good bucket list thing going on. I saw the eclipse in 2024. I saw a eclipse on Mars of Phobos as an astronaut. They're probably going to win.
That would be very cool to be an astronaut on the surface of Mars observing an eclipse.
Maybe one day, right?
Yep, exactly.
Awesome. Well, I hope you have clear skies for the eclipse, and hopefully we'll see more in this heliophysics big year.
Sounds great. Thank you. You too.